on this lesson. I like today's lesson. I finally got one that appeals to me. It's not about creation. It's not about nature. It's not about environment. It's about the gospel. And the gospel I can talk about a long, long time. Want to take for us to look at a word that I understand, but I want to make sure that we all understand. When you hear the word reconciliation, what does that mean to you? Somebody give me an example of reconciliation.
You reconcile your bank account.
Pardon?
You reconcile your bank account.
Okay, got to have money in there, but we try. That's it. Very good. Yes?
When I think about reconciliation, I think about something that was out of order or kind of off the path and it has to come back to where it started or back to some original state of being.
Okay. So we got reconciling a bank account. That's what you do. And you got something that's off and come back. Same thing a lot of times in banking, especially if Sue's handling the checkbook. All right. What other words, what other things reconciliation? What does that mean to you? Yes?
A relationship sometimes. A lot of people put reconciliations on relationships.
Okay. So you reconcile relationships. What else?
The cross for me.
The cross. Okay. That reconciles who?
Us. Us being reconciled to God.
Okay. All right. We'll come back on that one. All right. Anybody else? What other things reconcile? Counselors, do y'all work? Well, let me get the grand view here. Counselors. I know you don't get half these jokes. He's a counselor and he's my partner, but I tend to try to forget him. So these people over here are counselors, see? Oh, you did? Well, good. So I got to include Rob. So counselors, do you all reconcile people?
Sometimes we help them reconcile.
Okay, all right.
Carol got an email from a man who's upset with her because he thinks... He believes that she encouraged or told her his girlfriend to break up with him.
Oh, okay. Well, you can't. Got to find somebody to blame. That's it. So, well, keep him reconciled. Reconciliation in mind. Let's go back to the Garden of Eden. Now, to me, to understand the 66 books of the Bible and the plan of salvation, I think what happened in the Garden of Eden is absolutely of importance. First of all, Adam and Eve are in a perfect world. And God plants a beautiful garden, and He has a tree of life, and He has a tree of knowledge, of good and evil. Now, the first question I have is, why do you think that He put in the tree of good of knowledge of good and evil? Why did He do that? Pardon? A little hard to hear.
A choice.
A choice. Okay. All right. Uh-huh. What else? What other reasons do you think He put it there?
Obedience.
Pardon?
Obedience.
Obedience. Okay. All right. What else?
Free will.
Who said that? Free will, okay. What else?
Trust.
Pardon?
The trust.
Trust? Trust what?
The relationship. I don't want to say test, but show Adam and Eve, to help Adam and Eve see their dependence and trust in Him.
Okay, all right.
Or you could say it's a trust in His decision, whatever God's instructions were.
Okay, all right. So God had to give them some instructions. Okay. What else? Anybody else?
Protection.
Who said protection? How do you mean that?
Well, the controversy was already going on in heaven or with Satan, and so be fair, give Satan his choice.
All right. All right. So you would say God's fair. Okay. Well, I agree with that, absolutely. All right. Okay. Now, there are some people who say that it was important that God give man a test to see how he was going to perform. So therefore, we have a tree that you can eat all day long on, and you have a tree not to go near. So in order to have free will, you've got to have a plus, and you've got to have a minus that you can exercise free will. Now, I don't want a show of hands, but would you agree that a lot of people think that? Is that fair to ask?
Yeah, a lot of
people do. Okay, a lot of people do. Thank you, Leroy. I appreciate that. All right. In order for Adam and Eve to sin, did we have to have a tree of the knowledge of good and evil?
No, but it made it easy.
What do you mean, no?
They already had free choice. Satan didn't have a tree of good and evil.
Where at?
In heaven.
Absolutely. So please understand, the tree was not put there as a test. The tree was not put there for a choice. The tree was not put there for God to see what Adam and Eve were going to do. When did He know what Adam and Eve were going to do?
Before
He laid the foundation.
Beforehand. I think one of the things over my spiritual journey that I've come to the amazement of trying to understand what God is like is when I begin to understand that when God created Adam and Eve and pronounced everything good, He had sentenced His own Son to the cross of Calvary. Satan, there was no tree. There was no choice in heaven. There was not a plus or a minus in heaven for sin to arise. When you have free will, you have free thinking. And so there was no external thing that Satan had to do to create sin and problems in heaven. And God did not put two trees in the garden to see if what Adam and Eve would do, to test their loyalty, to see how they would react. God does what He always does, is be absolutely fair. And so He created a tree that gives life. And He created a tree and gave access to the devil there at that tree so that he could present his side of the controversy. But then God says what He says to each one of us: trust me and choose life. You see, as I see grandchildren and great-grandchildren growing up, I learn a whole new aspect of what life is all about. And I see that as you love one of those little boogers, but I've yet to give them a test. I've yet to say, do you love Grandpa? Yeah. Well, stay over here and everything's right, but if you put your hand on the stove, you're going to burn it. So I'm going to leave the stove on 24 hours a day. Just don't go over there and put your hand on it. Now, you all would say that was what?
Nuts.
Nuts. Notice who the first one out of the box was, right? Yeah. See, y'all think this relationship is one-sided, but she gets her jabs in. Yeah, that would be nuts. So God didn't test Adam and Eve. He told them, look, trust me. You have everything. Just as Lucifer in heaven had everything. But just don't go over here. Because I am going to permit a different side of the controversy. Stay together and enjoy everything. Just trust me. Well, we all know the story. Now, do have a theological question, because I like to ask theological questions. Whose sin was the greatest, Eve or Adam's? And don't tell me the same.
I say Adam.
Pardon?
I think Adam.
Why?
I think Eve went to the tree and conversed with the snake and was... I think she was deceived.
Okay.
I mean, even reading the lesson in more detail and in the Ellen White notes and stuff, where Adam, to me, he had an opportunity to hold on to his trust and belief that God would work it out no matter what, because he had given him everything.
Mm-hmm.
That God would give him a new mate or work something out somehow. So he, to me, knowingly, you know, just said,
okay,
I don't care what God has said, mm-hmm, I want to do this one thing. I think that.
Yes.
I believe their sins were equal.
Okay.
Because they both knew better.
Okay.
They both received the warning.
Okay.
And when we make a choice to accept Christ, we have asked Him to cover the sins. Other people have that choice. They either make it or they don't.
Mm-hmm.
And we make that choice every day when we get up, or we're presented with a test in our life, whatever it may be. And I really appreciated the sermon this morning in the way we look at this thing of the seven last plagues and all. You know, that to me tells an awful lot about God and His love for us and the fact that salvation's there and you're protected.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we don't even know if Eve, we don't know what kind of communication Adam and Eve have, because Eve wasn't even created yet when they were told to stay away from the tree. So
mm-hmm,
maybe Adam was just like the rest of us. He, with his wives, they don't communicate well.
What? Have you ever thought about going to the women's ministry? I love having him in a class.
What was the question again?
I'm not going to even repeat the question again. Adam's choice was very simple. Is my loyalty to God or is my loyalty to Eve? Wide open decision. And he chose Eve. Now, we would think that that is absolutely asinine, wouldn't you?
Not really. Have you ever really thought about it? Wouldn't you choose your family first before anything else? Maybe that's why I probably won't make it to heaven, but I feel my family comes first.
Okay.
I'm sorry, but I've always felt that way for my whole life. My family comes first.
Okay.
There's nothing more important than my family.
Absolutely. See? But the choice is very clear. Do you follow God? Or do you choose to stay with Eve? He chose Eve. Now, I said that's asinine. But I don't know about your life. But I only look at my life. And man, I've had all kinds of choices in my spiritual journey. Do I want to follow God? Or do I want to follow what Ernie wants? And guess what? I've chosen lots of times Ernie. Now, as an outsider, somebody would say, how stupid can you be? And oh my, What I found out is when I've chosen Ernie's way, consequences were tremendous. You see, God was not saying in my life, this is right and this is wrong, this is life and this is death. He's saying, trust me, because if you go down this way, I want to keep you from the consequences.
Amen.
Now, what's important is how did God deal with Adam and Eve? Every evening he came to the garden. Oh, how they loved talking with him. How they enjoyed visiting with him. We don't know how long that was. We don't know if it's a week or 100 years. We don't know. But every evening he came and God did what God likes to do. He likes to sit and talk to each one of us personally. And then all of a sudden, sin arose. And Adam especially. By the way, Adam and Eve's relationship all of a sudden changed. And all of a sudden, in the evening, here comes God. Just as He always did. Nothing has changed. And God comes along and He says, as He always did, Adam and Eve. But this time, no response. And when they finally got in front of God, and God said to them, what was Adam's excuse? What did he say?
That woman you gave me.
What did he say before that? Pardon? We were naked. We were ashamed. God didn't point that out. They pointed it out. And then God says very gently, very lovingly, very kindly, have you all been over there? Now this is what sin does. This is what sin does to us. What's Adam's response? Who did he blame? Who? No. No, Adam.
He blamed God.
No. Well, he did in a way. But it was the woman.
This woman you gave me.
The woman you gave me.
God.
Is that repentance? Is that sorrow? No. And then who does the woman blame? And who made the serpent? God. And now, God gets mad. You ungrateful people. Get out of my garden that I've given you. And I'm going to put an angel there with a big sword. And if you try to get back into this garden, he is going to cut your head off. True?
No.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Go back and see what you were taught when you were little kids. Want me to go to the Bible story and show you? I used to sell Bible story. Sold it for 8 years. Want me to go through and show you the pictures? Want me to go through show you the picture of God or the angels pointing that way? Go out that way. Want me to show you the picture? The big 8x11 full page picture of an angel with a sword? What do you think went through God's mind when His two children sat there and blamed His wife? By the way, He just chose His wife over God.
Yeah.
blame her because you made her. She blames God because you made the serpent. What do you think went through his mind?
He had already made a plan.
A plan to do what?
To get them back.
Okay. You think he was angry? I want you to come, if you got nothing else to do, listen to Rob's sermon on Yahweh. Let me tell you what God did. He took His children by the hands and He led them out of that garden. And He had, I know my Father, He had tears rolling down His eyes. Sadness. You know, when our children and our grandchildren, our great-grandchild, when they do something that's horrible, inside we're dying with them. And He led them to the garden, is the east end. And there, can't go through it, listen to the tape, God met every day with veiled glory. At the entrance of that garden, Adam and Eve came, and that's where they worshiped. And God met them there at the east side of the garden. They could see the tree of life. But God never abandoned His children. Now, reconciliation. Let me tell you, who's reconciling to who? Is man reconciling to God? Does God reconciling to us? Or does it make any difference? I got a yes, so I asked three questions. So. Unless it's yes, yes, and yes. So who's reconciling to who?
Man is reconciled to God.
Okay, I got man is reconciled to God over here.
Reconciling man to himself.
Reconciling him to himself or to God. Anybody else?
Well, the onus seems to be on God. It's His. God seems to be working to reconcile us to Him. He's always got a plan. It's always A, B, or C. If some plan doesn't work, He tries another.
Okay. All right. What else? Who's reconciling who to who? Yes.
What is amazing to me in that story really is that how God did not spend a lot of time on the problem and worked in the solution.
Okay. All right. And what is the solution?
God has always made the first move when it comes to reconciliation.
Okay, and what is that move?
Acceptance and the death on the cross. All of these things that He has shown us. The love that He has for us. So He has stepped out and said, "Here I am, take me."
Okay. Okay. And what are the provisions of being accepted and forgiven? Yes.
Well, in the story, there's never been, so far in here, an account of how the naked couple were clothed.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And God had to slay an animal and use the skin. And I don't know who or what kind of an animal it was, but in my mind, it's a lamb.
Okay. All right. So, what does it take to get God's acceptance?
Well, it sounds pretty simple in the Bible. Just believe on Him.
I got believe. What else does it take?
The original issue was trust.
Okay.
So I think
Got to trust God. Got to believe in God. What else does it take to be accepted by God?
We have to trust in His grace. Is what we have to do.
Trust in His grace. Believe. What else?
Invite Him in.
Pardon?
Invite Him in.
Do what?
Invite God.
Invite? Yeah, what else does it take? Yes.
I don't think it takes anything because there was no debate on how to clothe them. He voluntarily slayed, like our sister said, a lamb and clothed them. And if I remember your story of the prodigal son when he was coming home, there was no...
You're still in my inn. Still in my inn. But that's good.
It does not take anything.
That's good.
Thing to be accepted.
Oh, thank you. There's one person that's listened. Where does the cross fit in then? He says, believe, trust, nothing.
It took away.
Took away what?
All what they had done in the garden.
How?
How? Because Christ died for all of our sins.
Okay, well, then why did somebody say, what does it take to have believe in God if somebody has to die? You to think about that. So let's put it in terms that I can understand. I'm just an old Texas boy. Yeah, I'm not going to Brooklyn to go up and kill a bunch of Yankees up there. I'm not doing that. I'm just an old Texas boy. So in order for God to forgive me, somebody had to die. In order for God to be reconciled with us, somebody had to die.
It doesn't seem right, does it?
Absolutely, it doesn't seem right.
I don't think so much that His death on the cross was supposed to reconcile Him, but more so to show us what sin does. Sin is a separation from God.
Hey, you can come in late anytime you want to.
I mean, listen to the tape.
Yeah. Well, then go to YouTube. Think about this. Let's see. How many of y'all remember the Cullen Davis murder trial? Okay. Yeah, big time. At the time, the richest man in America ever put on trial for murder. I followed it closely. Followed it. I've read probably 10 books on it. I went to the trial. Now, Cullen Davis, the richest man in America, accused of killing his ex-wife's boyfriend. Eventually was found hung jury and found not guilty. What if he would have stood up and said, look, I'm guilty. I know I'm guilty, but Rob Shepherd's going to die in my place. What do the United States courts say about that? Court, what do they say?
No stand-ins.
Can't do that. Now I got another question, because I just love questions. Also got 14 minutes to wrap this up before I get accused of heresy. Was there a test in heaven for Satan to sin?
No.
Absolutely not. I could go further and say, was there a commandments in heaven? The answer is no. So he didn't break them. Sin dwelt within his own heart when he said, eventually, I'm going to choose my way instead of God's way. By the way, that's the ultimate sin. Now, God and Satan met at least three times that we know of. where God worked with the Lucifer, pointed out what was happening, pleaded with him to come back three times, and Lucifer would not bend. Now, I got a key question for you to ponder. What if Lucifer would have said the third time, "Yes, I am sorry. I see my ways. I want forgiveness." What would God have done?
That's God's decision.
What would He have done? Would He have said, "Just a minute, somebody has to be slain in order for me to forgive you"? What do you think He would have done? Now let's move to the next scenario. Is the universe watching all of this?
Yes.
Absolutely. Very important for us to understand. From the time that sin arose in Lucifer's heart, the universe as well as the angels have sat and watched this play out. They watched in the Garden of Eden as Eve ate of that fruit and she took it back to Adam and said, "Look, I'm eating and I'm not dead." And they watched when God came into that garden that evening, Adam, Eve. And they were waiting to see what would God's reaction be. And throughout the Old Testament, in the book of Job, Lucifer, now Satan, had access to heaven. And he came up there prancing around saying, "Look who I've got. Look at these people." We know the story in Job. He was playing. And the universe and the unfallen angels watched all of this. How convinced were they that God was correct? I want an answer.
50%.
50%.
I think they had some doubts.
They had some doubts. I thought doubting was a sin. You just told me you got to trust. Oh, can still have doubts. Okay. All right.
Give us a little more evidence.
Pardon?
He said, give us a little more.
A little bit more evidence. Now comes the flood. Oh, wow. Can you imagine the fun the devil had? I told you. I told you. I told you. You don't follow God. Look what He's going to do. Only 8 people out of this whole mess. And one of them's going to get drunk pretty as soon as he gets off the boat.
The beer truck ran.
Yeah. That's right. And then the children of Israel come upon the scene and they're going to represent God. God's chosen people. That when people looked at the children of Israel, they would say, "Boy, that's what God's like. I want to be part of that." And my, how did that end up? And then finally, the darkest point of Earth's history religiously, when God's character was so maligned, He sent His Son into this world. And when they said, "You're a leper because you're a sinner," God, Jesus touched and hugged that leper, then He cured him. And when He ran across a woman in adultery, He didn't condemn anybody. Just rolled in the sands and then asked her what He always asked. "Who are your accusers?" "Well, they're not here." "Well, go and sin no more." And then in the Garden of Gethsemane, read the Desire of Ages, read John's, what went on in that garden. It was there the decision for Jesus to make. And then when He went to the cross of Calvary, the unfallen worlds and the unfallen angels, as they looked to Calvary, said, "It is enough. We believe." Because they saw Jesus, the one they knew most well, as he sat there hanging on a cross saying, "Father, forgive them." And they saw the devil, Lucifer, Satan, the one that they knew so well, who for centuries had been the one that said, "God is unfair," and she's absolutely right. They still had doubts. Think of what that says about God in heaven. As he walked among the unfallen worlds, the universe, and the angels, they still had doubt. "I trust you, God, but..." "I trust you, God, but..." You know? And then as they looked to the cross, and they saw Jesus, and they saw the devil in that midst as a madman, hollering and stirring up that crowd, "Crucifying, crucifying, crucifying." It was enough. And they fell before the Father and said, "It's enough." When we look at the cross of Calvary, to think that God said, "I love you, I care for you, I want you, but somebody has to die, and so I'm going to take your sins." I don't know how that works. "I'm going to take your sins and I'm going to put it on Him, and He's going to die. And because He dies, I look at you and I love you." You know, that doesn't warm my heart. Men at Alamo died. 181 of them. Now that's courage. But that doesn't warm my heart for eternity. But when I look at the cross of Calvary, and I go through the 66 books that says God over and over and over, "Choose life or choose death." But I want you to choose life. Then as I look at the cross of Calvary, I see what the ultimate result of sin is. And when Christ was dying on the cross, what did He say? Forgive, but what else? Why are you killing me?
Why have you forsaken me?
Why have you let me go? And if I fail to choose the goodness of God and that relationship with Him, at the end of time, with tears rolling down His eyes, God will say, as He did in the book of Hosea, "How can I let you go? How can I give you up? Ephraim is joined to their idols. I must let you go." The cross of Calvary to the unfallen worlds was enough. Hopefully to us, it's enough to see where sin will take us, where the devil wants to take us. The ultimate sin, separation from God. And by the way, throughout eternity, we will have free will. I often ask the question, is there a chance of opportunity that sin could arise in heaven? Well, the answer is always no, no, no. Why not?
I think when God, when they sinned, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was that they were now in another realm.
Okay. But Satan didn't have that tree of knowledge of good and evil in heaven. So I got to close. So I'm not trying to be unkind. I got 2 minutes, so I appreciate that. So if you have free will, what does free will mean?
Possibility.
Now, why won't it? Because any time one thinks about fairness or unfairness of God, what do they see? The nail prints. And they come to the only conclusion a person can come to when truly look at God and open up your heart and allow Him to come into your life. This is our God. We trust. And for eternity, we're secure. Because if anything ever comes up as a doubt, we only have to look at the cross, where the ultimate answer to what will sin do bring separation. Father in heaven, wonderful God you are, to create worlds, to create universes, and then you came to our universe. Because you're a God of order, you created land, sun, moon, stars, light, and man and woman. Knowing that your Son would one day have to prove to the universe your character versus the charges of Satan. To me, what a wonderful God. You love us. We are that important to you. Help us as we go through this week to understand more and more how much you love and care for us. We pray for the members in our class that are going through health problems. Be with them in a very special way. Thank you, God, for loving each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.